I'm Henry Reinga, and with me is James Hunt and Brian DeCook. And we are so excited about this class. It's called What Are Soul Centers? And this is the first class in the Register Your Soul Center class that you're taking to be able to register a soul center. But in this class, you're going to find out what a soul center is, and we're going to share our discussion about this and even share our heart and as the Holy Spirit leads as the significance of how a soul center may benefit you in your ministry and impact for Jesus Christ. So let's right away get going, and the first thing we're going to talk about is what is a religious society. You figure that's like the first thing we're going to talk about is what is a religious society of all things. So, and we have with us Brian DeCook. Not only is a minister and a longtime supporter and board member of Christian Leaders, but he happens to also be an attorney. So I'm glad we have like religious society words. Brian, so soul centers are local religious societies for the credentialed ministers of the Christian Leaders Alliance to serve their communities of influence. And we'll talk about 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17 in a minute. So religious societies, what's the deal with that? It seems like that's a term. I know it's in a lot of government documents and all that, but what is a religious society?
Yeah, religious society, it is a... it's a word that we don't use much in the United States anymore, but it is a fairly common term and has been through the history of our civilization as we know it. And in many countries in Africa right now, we have a Christian Leaders Alliance group in Kenya that their formation, their legal entity formation, is as a religious society. So it is it's more common term than we think it is here in the States, and it's really a term that implies a group of people organized for a religious purpose.
Okay, in this case, a Christian religious purpose.
Yes.
So it's sort of that category. So a denomination is a religious society.
It is.
But a non-denominational church could be a religious society.
It sure could.
But also, if we were Buddhists and we had an organization, that would be called a religious society as well.
It would. It would. It's not an exclusively Christian term in its general use.
So, Dr. Hunt, have you ever think of religious society?
You know, I haven't really heard that name before, but it makes so much sense. When I think about a religious society, I really think about a community.
Yeah.
And I think about a community of or a society of like-minded individuals that have different skills and have different assignments that can do different things, but they come together as one to serve the community, to more or less to glorify Jesus Christ.
So a community with agreed upon standards,
yes.
A community, and it's really interesting that in the early church we read the Apostle Paul, now he's addressing a marriage issue here, but he writes in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 17, nevertheless each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned him, to which God had called him. And again, that was talking about some marriage issues. But notice that next phrase, this is the rule I lay down in all the religious societies. Okay, in all the churches. So in a sense, religious societies are agreed upon communities of like-minded thinking.
Yeah, and you know, you said a key word, and you've used this word before, place.
Right.
That there's a place for everyone.
Right.
And it's not any particular place. And when we talk about place, we're not just talking about a location, but we're talking about people.
Right. That's really powerful. So, but now this is not just a religious society. We're talking about a reproducible religious society. So, talking about reproducible religious society. So, the early church credentialed leaders planted Christianity. So, that's just fascinating. The early church credentialed leaders, such as the Apostle Paul, Peter, and Timothy, and many others, planted Christianity through the power of the Holy Spirit, the message of the sins forgiven and resurrection, and then Christianity spread everywhere. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. Brian, could you read that?
Sure. Now I beg you, brothers, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have set themselves to minister to the saints, that you also be in subjection to such, and to everyone who helps in the work and labors.
So here you have us, and these, there are many mentions of people like Stephanas, religious societies, places where ministry occurs. And what do you make of how reproducible that was in the early church?
I believe it was probably pretty revolutionary because it was, they had churches, you know, they used the temples, but they also had churches in homes,
mm-hmm.
and those were various sizes. And so and it was more open, more inclusive to people who ordinarily wouldn't have been in the church. So they had Gentiles, they had others besides the Jews who had become Christians. So it was really a diverse church. But what I really like about, particularly in chapter 16 of Romans, is it talks about all the workers.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were all not, they were doing the same work, but they were doing different works. They were supporting each other. And it apparently they came under, there was some discipline, there was some order, there was many jobs. So there was things that they were doing which calls forth a society, calls forth community, calls forth divisions of labor and different talents and abilities and gifts.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent. Wow, Dr. Hunt. What do you think about that, Brian?
I can't. I don't think I'm just going to agree with him. That was well said.
Well, let's move on then. So if you're going to have a religious society that we're associated with, mm-hmm. we really want to make sure that it's biblical and Christian.
Yes.
So a Christian Leaders Alliance credentialed minister then, and this is what we're working with, and we'll talk in even more details about that, can create then a local religious society for matters of the soul, as understood from the perspective of the Bible. These local religious societies are members of the Christian Leaders Alliance through that credentialed minister. Mm-hmm. Now, it's fascinating, as 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, if you instruct the brothers of these things, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the word of truth and the good doctrine you have followed. So here the Apostle Paul is setting up a religious societies everywhere. He's credentialing ministers, giving them confidence. They're commissioned. They're sent out. There's this whole talk about laying out of hands in the New Testament. So they had a whole process, which we do at Christian Leaders Alliance as well. But notice, it's not just any society. It's a society of the way, the truth, and the life of good doctrine. You know, we have a doctrinal statement and so forth. Anything to comment on that, brothers?
Well, I think that what's exciting about this to me, Henry, is that everywhere we read in the New Testament, there are groups gathering, people are ministering, and everyone's a little different. Everyone's local. Mm-hmm. And as Dr. Hunt mentioned about Romans 16, as Paul just recites his greetings to all the people that he knows there in Rome, and that each one had a place in his heart as a called person, as that was contributing something to the society. And maybe they had a separate society. Maybe they were part of a separate group.
Mm-hmm.
And our members in the Alliance, you know, what excites me about this is that everyone's doing something.
Right.
Right. We're not all doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. But this term religious societies can encompass all of that in a way that the word the church doesn't encompass it.
Right.
I mean, it does encompass it.
The church is one of the examples of a religious society.
Yeah, we don't think of it that way. We think the church encompasses all of this, but we think about it in those terms. But this is much broader than the organized church.
Yeah, and I agree. I love this as well because, you know, we're looking at, when we're talking about a religious society, there's absolutely some gaps in how we serve people.
That's a really good point, Doctor.
And really the model, for the most part, has been one of, you know, you can only go one way. But this religious society we're talking about, it ministers to the whole person.
Yes.
It's a holistic society where we look at marriages. We look at folks who have various needs. We look at all these things and we minister to the soul.
Yeah, yeah.
To the soul, to the whole being.
Right. And in what you mentioned too about the gaps, you know, we really want to launch and mobilize ministers around their giftedness to fill in some of those gaps and not just a couple of categories, because the early church, like Romans, 12, you know, where be transformed. And then there's this whole list of gifts by according to the grace that God has given. If one is lead, you know, there's so many different ways. You know, and sometimes I don't think we have seen how the early church had all those religious societies happening. Even if they were somewhat informal at the time, they were honestly there.
I agree with that because, you know, we're absolutely leaving some special people, some people who have some really great gifts on the side of the road, because not everyone is cut out to be a pastor or to be a preacher, but there's other gifts, there's talents, there's abilities. And besides, you know, so people who have a leaning toward ministry, and they've been more or less shut out by organized ministry or religion, they have an opportunity to minister to those who have been neglected, who have been, who maybe, for lack of a better term, by the side of the road.
Wow.
And they're left there. So we want to make sure that we minister to everyone, that we're using all the gifts, that we're not leaving anything on the table.
Well, and having said all that, you're also, if you want to be part of this, you're a part of your local religious society that we're going to make available for you to register with, but also you're part of an international religious society that covers you. And that is the Christian Leaders Alliance, is a ministry of Christian Leaders Ministries, the United States religious nonprofit 501c3 corporation. Brian, you're going to explain this in a little bit, so get ready. Christian Leaders Ministries is based in Largo, Florida. Christian Leaders has created has been credentialing local ministers since 2002. The Christian Leaders Alliance was formed in 2014 to really formalize a process. And I love that 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 8 passage. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith has become known everywhere. So this is a worldwide society that's connected to a lot of local society. So explain what is 501c3.
The Christian Leaders Ministries is a society.
Right. Okay.
Group of people.
Which originally was founded as Christian Leaders in 2002.
That's right. In 2002, we formed in the United States, you form a corporation. We don't use the word society, like, you know, we've mentioned, but we formed a corporation called Christian Leaders and began ministry as Christian Leaders Institute. Began to provide classes online, and eventually we started to have some graduates, some students who earned awards and degrees, diplomas, and so on. And then we formed the alliance you could almost look at it as another society, another group within that larger group of Christian Leaders Ministries. And the alliance becomes the credentialing society.
Right.
And so many of you watching this recording have a credential and are a member of the alliance. And as a member of the alliance, you're ministering somewhere, doing something. Now, you might be part of a church ministry. You might be part of a local Bible study. You might be, that's not associated with a church. You might be serving food to the hungry. You might be have a street evangelism ministry. Every one of those activities can qualify as a religious society.
Right. Under the banner.
Under the banner of the Alliance.
Global Christian Leaders Alliance.
Yeah. And so you would be a part of, if you wanted to form a recognized society under the Christian Leaders Alliance, you would do so. You could do so.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about more of the details. So a local soul center, so it's going to start with good standing minister credentials through Christian Leaders Alliance, and then you can create a soul center, and we've explained what soul centers are other places. So a local soul center then is like a local doctor's office. The credentialed doctor, in the case of this metaphor or analogy, is a member of the medical association where he must remain in good standing. He is allowed to open a local practice. Soul centers are local centers of ministry under the leadership of a credentialed minister with the Christian Leaders Alliance. And in a little while, we're going to explain different types of soul centers, so hold off on that. Mm-hmm. And first, in Philippians 1, 15 through 18, James, could you read that?
It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice.
Okay, so Brian, I'm going to comment on the verse and why we picked that verse here. So just to kind of get us, we're talking about religious societies. We're talking about local religious societies where credentialed ministers can, under the banner of Christian Leaders Alliance, form a religious society. Then we bring up the subject of ministers in good standing, because if you're going to form this a religious society, and in this case named a soul center, in a different type of soul center, and then here we are, we quote the Apostle Paul when he says that, hey, look, things aren't so perfect. Mm-hmm. We're doing things, but not everything's going to work out. Not everything's going to be perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why is that talked about here?
Yeah, because by we just want the gospel preached, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we have, let's say I'm a member of a mega church, and I have a real desire to do a certain type of ministry that when I go to my pastor and say, Pastor, I feel led to do this ministry. I've been through Christian Leaders College or Institute, and I've earned these credentials that are recognized by the Christian Leaders Alliance, and I'd like to engage in this ministry here at the church. And that ministry may not fit with the church's mm-hmm. plan.
Okay.
Right? And that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we need to, you know, come to understanding that, you know, a church has its call and has its mission and is endeavoring to accomplish that mission and serve the Lord as he leads the leadership of that local church. And sometimes we come in with our ministry dream and it doesn't fit.
Right.
And so what we're talking about today in creating these societies, these soul centers, is the opportunity for someone who has that ministry dream too and that credential,
right,
to become a recognized ministry through the Alliance, at that local level.
Right.
And so it could be as simple as someone wanting to start, maybe there's a mother who is raising a family at home during the day, maybe homeschooling, maybe not, but wants to just engage in hospitality. Maybe that's her gift.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she's earned a credential at Christian Leaders, and she wants to be recognized as a hospitality soul center. We can recognize that.
And actually have a geographic location.
And have a geographic location on the website and be recognized and be in ministry and be serving the Lord with not just on her own, but with the prayer support and the encouragement that the Alliance membership
be
brings.
Be part of something.
Yeah, and I love that because, you know, you not only have the credentials and the credibility that comes with being part of Christian Leaders, but you're also extension of that local church.
Yes.
Right? And yeah. the local church, as you explained, Brian, can we try to be everything to all people, but sometimes we don't use the people who are within our midst.
We've seen that as ministers.
Yes, yes we have. And so those gaps in the community, for instance, you mentioned hospitality. There's some, there might be some mentoring. There may be some other supporting, visiting yeah. others. You know, things that some churches don't have the bandwidth to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've seen it so many times. They're talented folks who have been called, folks mm-hmm. who are gifted. They have not been used. And I like to say that you know we're all disciples. We're all leaders. You know
right,
why?
Yeah.
Because we've all been called to lead someone to Christ.
Yeah. You know, that passage about the Apostle okay. Paul, I'll put that back up there, about, you know, it's true that some preach Christ out of envy and revelry and then out of others' goodwill. And it talks about even the potential that some people, you know, are you know, even questionable mm-hmm. and they're out there. And I think that often is an issue with credentialing of ministers mm-hmm. and the sending them out to do ministry. And this is one passage I'm glad it's in the Bible because it sets the appropriate expectation. Mm-hmm. Because if we're too perfect on this, we'll never do anything because we all know that we are being sanctified through Jesus Christ and the old life is being, you know, erased away and we understand that. On the other hand, I also know that somebody could go, I went 8 years to college and seminary and then I found out since now I'm 61 that a large percentage of those who joined me in seminary are no longer in ministry and some of them have been washed up for various purposes. Mm-hmm. Now, do I look back at that and say, you know, well, it was all a failure? No. Mm-hmm. I see that Christ was preached. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And in the same way as we think about good standing, what we're encouraging you is to walk with God, to mm-hmm. practice faith, to stay in good standing, but also know that try a few things. Mm-hmm. You're going to receive spiritual warfare. And the spiritual warfare is going to change your life. And you're going to be tested. Some of you may, in fact, when you're actually doing ministry, mm-hmm. and yeah. we've both seen this, right? Mm-hmm. When you actually get into the front lines, mm-hmm. The attack will say, you know, ministry is not for me. Mm-hmm. But in a sense, we have to lower our expectation to say, you know, something, yeah. let's give it a try.
Let's get out there.
Yeah, you yeah. know what I like about this, what we're proposing, is that, you know, for those, a lot of folks who decided that ministry at one point was no longer for them, those were the people who didn't have support.
Right.
And maybe they didn't have the capability or the gifts to minister in a variety of ways. And sometimes, especially in a local church, you need all those things.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to go out beyond those four walls. And so what this does, it utilizes all the capabilities and provide support for the individuals that mm-hmm. are in this
that are called
Christian
to do
society.
Ministry. Yeah.
That's right.
Right, and what's neat too is in a lot of ways this can be involved with local church. Your
yes.
pastor
yes.
can say, "Yeah, we are all part of being with your religious society," mm-hmm. or the pastor can say, "I'm not interested," but you can still bring people to my church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I have a religious society I founded in Clearwater and also in Spring Lake, Michigan, Clearwater, Florida, Spring Lake, because I split my time between two, so I started two little soul centers. And one of my goals, like let's just say Florida, my Cove Cave, Clearwater soul center, is to invite people to the church that I go to called Harborside Church. Mm-hmm. And also, I minister in my condo association. I am part of a Bible study, so we're going to talk about the individual soul yeah. centers in a little bit. Mm-hmm. But so I'm both heavily connected to my local church, and I'm still part of this religious society as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Pastor Henry, that President Rangan, I you know think about we talked earlier today about some friends I have in Nepal who are training evangelists to go out and evangelize, and they plant churches from the people that receive the Lord, and they plant them in small house churches. And But what they encourage these new believers to do is write out a list of names. List out your family, list out your friends, because none of them know the Lord, and then we're going to train you to witness to them.
Right.
So here are people that have just been born again, and now they're going to become evangelists.
Right.
And you can be used to the Lord just that quickly. And that's just a little training of how to witness, right? But that's like a credential, right? So bringing that into the context of the Alliance and your training and your ministry dream, when President Reinga mentions whether a lot of training or no training, minimal training, you get a credential, just use it.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the Lord leads you to do with it, you use it. If your church doesn't want to recognize it, that's okay.
Right. We'll recognize it.
You can be and I love this term soul center, because what we're doing is we're creating a center where souls come.
Yeah.
Where you minister to souls and you serve souls. And it can be two people. It can be a whole church. Mm-hmm. But whatever it is that the Lord has you doing right now, that's your soul center. And we want to come alongside you.
Right.
At the Alliance, and encourage you in that, encourage you to develop the gifts the Lord's given you, to use the gifts the Lord's given you, to rely on Him to do the work of the ministry and bless people. And so I just think I'm just so excited about this
endeavor. I'm encouraged too, Pastor Brian.
It is. So we're going to conclude this first session. In our next session, we're going to actually talk about the types of soul center. So this is about, first of all, in just having you sort of warm up to this concept of religious societies. Mm-hmm. How there's a global religious society called Christian Leaders Alliance, and if you're watching this video, you're a credentialed officiant, a minister, a coaching minister, a licensed ordained minister, one of the roles of credentialing of ministers that we do at Christian Leaders Alliance. So we want to just be aware of what societies mean and how you could be part of registering a society so that your gifts can be registered, people can see what you're doing, what you're called to doing. Next time, we're going to talk about the types of soul centers.